Packer.
People will be
there.
Scowling at you.
No fun of any kind, ever. All right, 21 seconds after the hour of noon in this, the month of April in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by and making a part of your listening day, my friends. This is the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family, right here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming along. If you want to email today, by God, you can do it. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com, and we're starting today's program, as we always do, with Sarah Dillon scratching part of her anatomy.
I was scratching my elbow.
One day it's the face, one day it's your butt,
it's
one day
it's
your scalp.
I am not scratching my scalp, mister.
You like that
it's
guy in the news?
Heartbreak of psoriasis.
That guy in the news story yesterday, I don't really have that.
No.
I just have a pasty flap of skin.
He was 81, though.
It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We are now 7 days away from Listener Party 9. 7 days away. Seven small little days. Hard to believe. 7 days away. Listener Party 9. Kissing my ass. Which comes up next Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m. Sabala's Mount Tabor on 49th. And Hawthorne, made possible by a whole passel of people, including Four Wheel Parts, Wild Bill, CD Game Exchange, more. We'll talk about all that later on. 503-733-2970. The big news about that today is it noon? So coming up, it's late in the second hour of the show, the 1 o'clock hour. We are going to be asking you to rechristen the artist formerly known as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band. They're going to be playing at Listener Party 9, Kiss It By Ass. It's impossible for me to say that without plugging up and doing the real Don Steele boss jock voice. Here's a fun fact about that.
You're probably doing it better than he is right now.
Is he even alive anymore?
No, he is actually dead.
He really
we
is
dead. We
don't
even have to look it up. We know he's dead.
Oh, man. I used to run the real Don Steele's, like Rock Rollin', Remember, or whatever the hell it was. I guess it's Dick Clark. He used to run some oldies show. I was like 19, working on an oldie station, running an oldie show. And it was hosted by the real... He was probably dead then. How would you even know? There's so many of those old boss jocks from that era. I mean, maybe it's live. Maybe it's Memorex. Maybe they're dead. Maybe it's voice tracking. Maybe it's a show from 1950. You know, maybe it's something he was doing with Moondog Freed. No one knows. Anyway. I had somebody pull me aside and ask how to do that voice. They said, how do you do that thing where you talk like an idiot? I said, what do you mean? They go, you know, that DJ, the top 40 thing. And I realized that it's one of those skills you pick up that you can't really explain. It's like wiggling your ears or talking like Christopher Walken. You can read all the explanations in the world. One can either talk like Christopher Walken or one cannot.
You get the boss jock gene.
I cannot. I do, but that's the thing in me. Some guys get good looks. Some guys get the ability to juggle. Some guys can roll their tongue. I can do none of these things, and I'm hideously unappealing. What I can do is talk like a top 40 DJ. That's it. That's it, folks. If you're looking for more skills, you can go elsewhere. Those are my only demonstrable abilities are those. All right. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. Later on in the show, though, we are going to have you name and rechristen the artists known formerly as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band. We are going to be looking for a new name for them at Listener Party 9, Kiss It By Ass, which is coming up next Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m., Sabala's Mount Tabor. So later on the show, we'll have you name. And Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine is going to be here as well. We're going to be doing Unleash Your Inner Rock and Roll God with another. And I've come to the realization that the way we did the contest yesterday was okay, was decent. Wasn't fantastic, though. It wasn't great. So what we're going to do today, we're going to, as Emerald would say, what we're going to do is kick it up a notch. Bam! And I hold in my hands today's heavy metal lyrics, both real and fabricated. So later on, we're going to let you discern the difference between the two. We'll give you the chance to spot the fake metal lyric. And if you are able to do it, you'll get your chance to go on stage and sing a metal classic with the backing of the Bigger Than Jesus House Band. And if you succeed at that, then the mantle of all that is rockin' and glorious will be yours, my friend. So that's coming up later, so you want to be listening for that. What else? Oh, we'll find out how Engineer Sean is sticking it to the man today by following the letter of the CBS dress code while still dressing in a completely inappropriate and hideous fashion. And finally, why have I written this down? I wrote a note to myself, dead celeb. Dead celeb.
There aren't any recent ones.
Who's dead? Oh, that's right, the Pointer Sister.
Just one Pointer Sister. The one that didn't matter.
We'll be talking to Jim Roop, believe it or not, CNN radio correspondent in Los Angeles. They've actually sent him to file a complete story on a person no one's ever heard of.
For one thing, people really don't know how many Pointer Sisters there are.
I didn't even think they were real sisters. I thought it was sort of like the Ramones, where they were just...
Like Piggy Pointer. And...
Yeah, it was just sort of a catchy name they picked, but they weren't real Ramones. Like, there are no actual Statler brothers. There are Gatlin brothers, but no Statler brothers. Well, anyway, she's dead. And believe it or not, he's going to have to fill like 3 minutes talking about that later. So you'll be listening to that. We've also got one of the most disturbing stories you've ever heard. It's right here. You want to hear the first line? How about just the first couple words? Wait, are we in the lunch hour? Excellent. Rat-tailed maggots. There you go. We'll read the rest later. Ladies and gentlemen, we're joined today, as we are always, by the lovely Sarah X. Zillin, who's holding things down here and keeping Shay Emerson rolling along. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Now, you're looking well. You know why? It's because you got rest. It's because you... Now, did you go to COIN today?
I did.
But you took yesterday off.
I did.
Not from this program, though.
No.
In fact, I was accosted in the kitchen this morning by Mark Whalen, the general manager here at the Johnson 970. And he said, hey, was that Sarah on COIN yesterday? And I said, no, she was not. She was sick. And he said, really? She's looking a lot better. And I said, she is. And he said, now, wait a minute. She worked on your show. And I said, yes, she did. And he said the following phrase. He said... So she shows up for the things that matter.
Oh,
and I
my
said,
God.
Yes, Mark Whalen, general manager of Johnson 970, she does.
Well, that is true. When's the last time COIN threw a listener party?
I don't...
No, there's a big difference.
Come see Jeff Granola in person.
God, no, 4 a.m. just kills you. I mean, you can get 8 hours of sleep by going to bed at 8 and waking up at 4, but it's not the same.
But you don't go to bed at 8, first of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, even if you did, it's not the same. Third of all, I know that every night you swear you're going to go to bed early, and you don't, which is fine for, like, you can do that one night, because how, you're 24, 25? 25.
Uh-oh, I'm getting up there in age.
Quarter of a century.
Quiet, Baldy.
I'm just saying that, you know, and you're a slip of a youth, and no sleep is no sweat, it's one thing.
I know, I'm starting to wear eye cream so that I don't get wrinkles.
Eye cream. And so it's fine, you do it 1, 2, 3 days, that's fine, but by Thursday or Friday, because even I'm this way, because I go to bed at like midnight or 1, and again, it's the same thing every night, I'm going to go to bed early, I swear. And then it's like, no, I got to watch this rerun of the Muppet Show, you know.
Last night I'm at the, I have season 4 of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and we're on the ninth out of the 10 episodes.
Right, and he's like, I got to keep going.
I know, and I couldn't stop watching it, and it was like 11 o'clock.
Totally.
Yeah, before I went to bed.
And so that's the thing. And so you wake up every morning and you feel like crap, but which is fine on Tuesday and Wednesday. By Friday, though, you have acquired what scientists term a sleep deficit. And that's why on Saturday we all sleep till 4 in the afternoon.
Yep.
Who does?
Well, I do. Man, a Saturday, man, I sleep like a bastard. I sleep till noon. Because your body's just so desperately, you know, I've got to get some sleep. And you're just desperately trying to catch up. All right, Tim Riley's at the City Desk working on the following stories for your edification.
Well, New Orleans will be rebuilt on stilts. Indians and Pakistanis are being smuggled into the Northwest through Canada. A teenager sets himself on fire while siphoning gasoline from a fireman's car. And Tom Cruise brags about a, quote, spectacular sex life, unquote.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Well, on that note, so that's all coming up, as well as seeing a radio correspondent, Gary Baumgarten, who's going to talk about the...
The Pointer Sisters.
No, Jim Roop is going to talk about it. And it's not even all of them. It's just one of them.
Which, well, never
mind. Didn't they sing New Attitude? Is that them? I got a new attitude. Isn't that them? I used to run the Dr. Laura show years ago, and I had to hear that like 4 times a day. Mm-hmm. Well, whatever. Sarah, could you sing a Pointer Sisters song if I put a gun to your head?
Probably not.
All right. Well, anyways, we'll talk about that. Gary Baumgarten's going to be here as well. Oh, and I should note, there'll be a new voice on the Rick Emerson show, maybe tomorrow, actually. It just depends on whether he can walk and stand upright and chew gum and do all of this stuff at the same time. We have an intern. I think his name is Scott. Scott Zibbicky. And he will be in, and I think he's only going to start like the day, 2 days a week, something like that. Something about having to go to school and having like...
You think he'll get me lunch like Kyle did?
Things you have to do. Yeah, well, he's going to be here from 11 to 3. Because Susan, you know, is the marketing director. She's like, so when do you need him? Like, noon to 3? I'm like, how about 11? And, you know, and of course, I'm fabricating. We need help with show prep and guests.
Okay, well, then he's going to hang out with you
and
in your office.
I need him to collate and file. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, lunch. He'll need to get lunch. He'll need to be picking up my dry cleaning. That's it. So he'll start tomorrow. I don't even know if he's going to be in the... I think he's going to be put in like this closet, like way down the hall. I don't even think we'll be able to see him, which is fine. I don't like those people to make eye contact with me anyway. We'll also be getting a second intern at some point, probably next week. So that's good news. So if you call in and Sarah suddenly sounds like she has a penis, it's probably just the intern. Maybe.
What is with you today?
Zing!
Do it.
No, it's not. But see, that's not zing.
That isn't. You're right.
It's not wah-wah appropriated. That's more. Oh, I don't even have the Z thing up. It's more of a. That's more of a Z kind of a. No, that's not right. Well, whatever. Anyway. What else? Other news? Oh, and finally, because we are now 7 days away from Listener Party 9, which is happening next Thursday. Listener Party 9, kissing my ass, which is coming up at the Sabal's My Favorite. Now, you know, of course, the Bigger Than Jesus band, who we're going to rename today. I went to see them rehearse last night.
And?
Damn, holy hell, what a lot of rock that is. Man, it's fantastic. It's going to be the best thing you've ever heard. And I heard them practicing the special, you know, because did I bring in a special guest up? They're going to be springing a special surprise announcement. I only heard half of it.
Oh.
I only have it because the special guest wasn't there last night. But I heard them. I heard the actual, the instrumentation and half of the duet. It's so great. It's unbelievably great. And they have incorporated a whole bunch of the listener suggestions because we put the set list together last week. And I would say probably at least half of the set list came from listener suggestions. So anyway, we'll get to that. Ladies and gentlemen, at the news desk, it's Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Many New Orleans homes and businesses destroyed or substantially damaged by floodwaters from levee failures during Hurricane Katrina will have to be elevated if and when they are rebuilt. That word today from David Mustard of FEMA, who says the elevation requirements have to be met by those properties to qualify for flood insurance.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this Bank A?
That is. FEMA recommends substantially damaged homes and businesses protected by levees elevate 3 feet above grade or follow what is shown on the current effective flood insurance rate map, whichever is higher.
This guy really knows how to work a room.
He does.
How to keep an audience wrapped with attention.
Yep. So please adhere to that.
So I don't really. So they're not really going to put the city on stilts, are they? Because that's stupid.
Well, look, that's the way to do it. If you want to get insurance.
I'm unclear about this whole hurricane thing. So,
well, there was Hurricane Katrina.
Okay. I do have a television though. I guess my question is.
Yes.
Thank you.
It happened many, many months ago.
I'm unclear about, and I know this sounds a little daft, but was it the water as such, or was it, what am I trying to say here? Was it that the water just sort of degraded the foundation and washed the dirt out from everything? Was it the force of the water crashing through? In other words, it was the contact of the water banging into things, or was it the actual wind that did it? Because it was a hurricane. So was it the wind that did this?
I would say it's A and B, and possibly C.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Uh-huh.
All right, there you go. Nothing but the most finite and concrete, tangible information.
But those were good choices.
It almost sounded like I knew what I was talking about, didn't it?
It certainly did.
The city on stilts. It's a stupid idea. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what they do? It's like
Jamaica.
I was going to say, it's like anytime you're lifting your survival skills from the Swiss Family Robinson, it seems like maybe that's an ill-advised
plan.
Like
a Disney movie.
Seriously. Remember the scene in Mosquito Coast? Just do that.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Riley.
U.S. and Canadian officials announced the breakup of a far-reaching human smuggling network suspected of illegally bringing in dozens of Indian and Pakistanis from the international border into Washington state. A grand jury in Seattle has indicted 14 U.S. and Canadian residents. Yes, they're all in cahoots for this scheme. Apparently, they allege 46-year-old Kevin Mutane was the leader of the group. They say the group oversaw a criminal network that charged foreign nationals from India and Pakistan up to $35,000 apiece. They go from Canada into Washington state.
Where do they end up in Washington state? Was it someplace good?
I don't know.
I
haven't seen a Pakistani here.
Don't you?
Or an Indian, for that matter.
I'm sure they're around somewhere.
Would their presence be pronounced in some way?
I don't know.
Pakistanis here.
Anyway, so I always wonder about these. It's like when you watch, what is that, the Bridges of Madison County? She's from Italy or something, and she's like in Kansas or wherever the hell. Where is Madison County? What state did that take place? Was it Iowa?
One of those flyover states.
One of those states no one cares about.
Flat states with corn.
So, So anyway, I always wonder about those immigrants that they come here. Oh, I cannot wait to go to America where the streets are paved with cheese, you know, or whatever. And they come here, and it's like they end up in Decatur. You know what I mean?
Or they end up in a call center anyway, so they shouldn't have even left.
Or Kennewick. You know what I mean? Is it because there, I mean, there are, not a lot, but I mean, you go to some of those, shall we call them the lesser cities in this fine country of ours? And there are immigrants. And you wonder, but I am going to America, the golden land of opportunity, where all is glory. Where is Yakima? You know, and it's like, and the next thing you know, it's they're just sitting there and they're, you know, they're working at an Applebee's somewhere outside the prison at Walla Walla. Yeah, that's no good. You don't want to do that.
You'll have to go back then.
All right, who's this person? Hello, Rick Emerson Show. How are you on this fine Thursday?
So I'd be a lot better if I could hear the show.
Where are you?
I'm in Seattle.
Why are you calling, sir?
Because I know that you're back, and I'm sitting here on my computer listening to shows from 3 weeks ago, and I just felt the itch. It's
Sarah's feeling the itch, too. Is it on your elbow, or is it more of like a...
What just is wrong skin? With you? I have never made fun of you scratching your little bald head.
I'm just saying.
I scratched my elbow once, and you're, like, making jokes about it. There's nothing wrong with my elbow.
It's just... I just like the word... I just like to say itch. I also like to say
it
redneck style.
Gross. You've
got to
stop saying that.
Itching my nose. You were feeling the itch for what?
I just really wanted to call and tell you how awesome it is to know that you're back on the air, even if I can't hear you.
Thank you, sir. Do you live in Seattle?
I do. I moved here a couple of years ago.
There's nothing to listen to up there.
No, Seattle's a wasteland.
but yeah, I was just a diehard listener until the second unpleasantness.
God bless you. What's your name?
Michael.
Michael, and what do you do in Seattle?
I work in real estate.
All right. That's a boom in business because they're not making any more of it.
That's right.
Yeah, wait, hold on. No, that's worthy of a Z sound right there. There you go. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So, well, God bless you, sir. Now, do you ever get back to Portland?
Oh, all the time. In fact, I'm trying to get up there for 420, but it is a Thursday.
No, please. Cry me a river.
Take Amtrak.
Sissy, just get on the train and come on down here. That train runs both ways.
Yep, sure
what
does.
Are you staying up there for? IKEA? Come on. This is going to be the time of your life.
No, you're breaking my heart.
Breaking your heart. Get in your car and drive down.
Well, yeah.
It's like 3 hours, right? Three and a half?
Two and a half.
Less than 2.5.
Your speed?
You could take Friday off.
Yeah.
I've done it in two, but it's expensive because the cop gives you that little piece of paper.
Okay, here's the thing. You drive down, you load up, you party, and then what? You go back, you try to be back by noon on Friday, you say that you had a dental appointment, nobody even knows you're gone.
Good times.
We're giving a prize for the person who has come the farthest.
Really?
I'm making that up right now. And right now, the promotions people are hearing me say this, and it's the first they've heard of it. We are giving a prize to the listener who comes the farthest. For the listener party.
Well, hey, since I am listening to the show of, March 22nd, I want to say yes, that is Darnell the Crabman on the back of the Office Max truck.
I don't know anything about that, of course, but Darnell, on the back of the Office, so it is the Crabman.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. And here's what a dork I am. I'm driving along in my car, and I see him on the back of the Office Max truck, and what do I immediately do? Hey, Crabman. Just like exactly like Jason Lee, because I'm a fool.
That's awesome.
All right, Michael, well, we expect to see you here.
I will do my best, sir.
No. Do or do not. Do not do one's best.
I'll see you on 420.
All right, thank you, Michael.
Peace.
There you go. All right, that's what I'm talking about.
That's the way it must be done.
Try not. Do or do not. Here's Tim Riley.
Tom Cruise enjoys a spectacular sex life with his pregnant fiancée, Katie Holmes, because he says they have good communication skills. A Hollywood actor reveals his sex secrets in the May 6th issue
Tom
of GQ.
Tom Cruise's sex secrets.
Mm-hmm.
How do they mean secret? Because I can... Okay. Because I bet I... Because I think I've figured out the secret.
Well, he declares the physical act is a, quote, byproduct.
It's a byproduct.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Of a successful
I don't think that's the only by thing.
Cruise in...
Wait, hold on. No, that's... Come on.
That is a beauty.
Yeah! Feel that. All right.
He continues here. With some sage advice, sex is about the connection. Great sex is a byproduct of me. You have a great relationship where you have communication, and that is an extension of that.
Great sex is a byproduct of me, Tom Cruise. Well, I get that probably is
where
true,
it
though.
Is just free.
Okay.
That sentence doesn't
I don't
want to
hear about free sex, Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how it should be.
Okay.
It is spectacular.
Okay, thank you. I don't want to make a cruise watch, but if these stories... We could call it cruising for Tom.
How about cruise control?
Or cruise control. No, there's a cruising... Like the Pacino movie with the leather cap.
Oh, yeah.
It's got, see, because then it's got the, it's a double entendre.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. Who's this on the phone?
I guess this is Scotty, our new intern.
Oh.
He doesn't call himself Scotty, does he?
Well, let's beam him up.
All right. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Rick, Scotty J. Yes, Scotty J, the intern.
Don't call yourself Scotty J.
Scotty J, it's a famous name.
Did someone tell you that that was a good name to use?
It's well known in the community.
No, it's not. Okay, let's start molding you right now, Scotty.
We don't know what community he's from.
Scotty J is not. What community are you speaking of?
Well, it stands for Scott DJ, and I have a mobile DJ business. And a couple of drunks one night slurred their words, and it just kind of mixed from Scott DJ to Scotty J.
Listen to them.
Have you rehearsed this story?
No, it's truth.
This story sounds rehearsed. I'm not saying it's fake. I'm saying, have you rehearsed the telling of this story?
Oh, no. I've told the story 1,000 times because it's really what happened. I've had one too many people have some adult beverages and slur the words, and so it just kind of stuck for the last 5 years or so.
Sarah, what are your initial impressions of this young man?
He's a little too haughty for my taste.
A little too haughty?
He needs to be
haughty? Like he's...
No, H-A-U-G-H-T-Y. He needs to be knocked down a couple of months.
You got too much self-esteem for our taste.
He's got too much confidence right now.
Okay, I'll try to pipe that down, and I'm ready for the janitor closet.
I was just going to say, now, you are currently...
That would be our office.
I was going to say, you can't have that, then I'll have nowhere to manage the station from. Are you... now, you are currently attending Mount Hood Community College?
That's correct.
All right, now then, it's our good friend Paul Sasso out there.
Oh, that's right.
You. All right, now
your student.
Will this be your first? Not a paying job, I guess, but will this be your first official radio job?
This will be the first official radio job, and it's all because of you.
Okay, well, see, that's where that misguided confidence comes from. You actually haven't worked at a radio station yet.
Oh, yeah.
No, your self-esteem will be crushed in chat. Within, like, a month, you'll be wanting to kill yourself.
We sound nice on the radio. Not so nice
I used to be happy about working in radio. I used to have spark in my eye. I used to wake up in the morning and want to face the day and tackle new challenges.
That's how I feel right now.
Just showing up for the paycheck now.
That's very endearing, though. He's young and happy.
No, it's good.
Wait, how old are you, Scotty?
I remember when I was naive. How old are you, Scotty?
Well, I would be in my 30s, so got a little
later
start.
You would be or you are?
What's that again? I'm sorry?
You would be in your 30s or you are?
I am in my 30s.
You've got a peculiar way of talking, Scott.
Yes, I do. That's the uniqueness about me.
Wait, earlier or later or mid-30s?
Kind of later, I would say.
Define kind of later.
39.
That's almost 40.
That's right.
Thank you, Tim. Tim, they're just not enough. They're not fine enough point put on that. Let me clarify for the people at home. All right, what did you do before this? Before you decided foolishly to get into radio, Scotty?
Owned a mobile DJ company for the last 4 years, and over the last, I'd say, 15 plus years, been doing mobile events. But on the flip side of things, I've always been in sales, and just so happens that. This so happens that Mr. Steve Pelequin is...
Okay. All right, that's two strikes, my friend, right there. I don't mean your name. I mean mentioning Steve Pelequin is two strikes.
All right.
Now, how do you know Steve Pelequin?
He worked with him in the 80s, and we became...
How old is Steve Pelequin?
He's same age.
Upper 30s.
Okay, here's the thing you got to know about Steve Pelequin. Steve Pelequin.
He has a ridiculously huge car.
I probably know it already.
Does he still have that truck that, you've seen that bumper sticker that says my other penis is tiny?
All right, they went ahead and they liquidated the vehicle, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah, because there was some, So, here's the thing about Steve Pelequin. Steve Pelequin used to be an AE. That is that's what they call salesperson. And so
right.
Steve Pelequin was a salesperson for us when we were over at KOTK. Steve Pelequin, this is the most memorable Steve Pelequin moment. When we were looking for 1080 girls, and it turned out, correct me if I'm wrong here, wasn't it true that Steve Pelequin was just taking some strippers out to lunch, telling them, would you like to be a 1080 girl?
Yes, and he was using our funding for our listener party.
And he was billing it to the station. He was billing it to the station. And of course, I never heard about these 1080 girls. No one ever heard about it. The first I heard about it is when some girl calls up and she's like, so I was told that I could be a 1080 girl. And I'm like, well, who told you that? Steve Pelequin. When? When he took me out to lunch last week. Who paid for it? The station. You know, and it's like, I'd never even heard it. It's like he was just whining and dining strippers or something. So if I were you, here's your first professional move. Begin distancing yourself from Steve Pelequin.
Okay.
You just do that for me, would you?
Yes, I'm ready to be the yes man, so I'll do that immediately.
All right, well, you'll go far if you can do that. So, all right, now you're going to be in tomorrow?
I'll be in tomorrow at 11.
All right, fantastic. Sarah, you're already thinking of tasks for Scotty the intern?
Sure.
Who is it? Should I be doing...
I haven't checked it yet.
All right.
That's Scotty's job.
Yeah, Scotty, let's see. Hold on.
Let's see how well he does.
Okay, so I'm going to put you on hold. I want you to screen a call, all right?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, hold on. Don't go anywhere. Now, I'm going to pick up the phone, and you just say, hello, Rick Emerson Show. All right, you ready?
Sounds
all right,
good.
And, okay, go.
Rick Emerson Show, how can I help you?
I just have a comment on Scotty's rap.
What would you like to say?
Can I just talk to Rick, please?
Come on, Scotty. Don't take any guff off the call.
I want to hear a little bit more of insight on what you want to talk to him about.
My comment was that is there anything more uncomfortable than someone who thinks that their shtick is more clever and meaning than it actually is?
Wait, who are you referring to? Me or Scotty?
I'm afraid I can't let you talk to Rick because you have to
just let me thank him for being back on the air again. My world is now complete.
Absolutely, and I agree with you. I will let you through.
All right.
And I'd love to talk to Sarah.
Sarah, would you like to?
Hi.
All right, hold on. So now I will pretend to put the call. Now you'll be. This is where you're putting the call on hold. All right. Now I will pick up the. You forgot to ask him his name, by the way, but that's okay.
Okay.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this? Oh, he's gone. Oh, he's blown the bit. Way to blow the bit, caller. All right, well, whatever.
I think you hung up.
That was a decent screening job, though. Would you say?
Yeah.
Have you ever screened calls before?
Yes.
All right. Well,
a radio station, though, but yes.
And at what radio station?
I do a lot of screening on my own, just for my own customers.
Because
the phone's ringing off the hook.
What radio station do you screen at?
I do not. Screen at a radio station. I screen for my DJ business.
Oh, I see.
You get a lot of weird people calling in.
And that is just a whole lot of, my boy's going to be 12 and I want some rap. Is that?
Yeah, a lot of that my boy's going to be 12 stuff.
All right. Okay.
You got the hully gully?
Can you play the chicken dance?
We've got to go. We have group.
Do you have costumes for YMCA?
Well, should we just wait? I mean, do we have time to do the break?
Well, if you want to do 12 minutes on the other side of the half hour.
Boy, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Scotty.
Course.
So I'll tell you what. So you're going to be here at 11 tomorrow?
Be here at 11.
All right. Be here at 11 tomorrow, and we will school you in the ways of radio.
Yes, and I'm glad to have you back, by the way.
Thank you. Bring Sarah some lunch.
Sounds good.
All right. Heavy on the protein. Thank you. All right, there you go. That's Scotty the intern. Well, that's right. Low fat, high protein. Isn't that the deal? I'm trying to. Look, you got to tell him. How can he get the lunch order right if you don't tell him what you want? Oh, yeah. Listen to that. Oh, it's becoming of me. All right, we're going to ride the tiger. Yeah. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. Yeah. Johnson at 70. See what I mean. Yeah. Shades of Jason Parrish. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I should note this, by the way. Speaking of radio people. Since we're on this terrible, awful radio people. I should actually give a belated shout out to our good friend Ian Furness, who still works over there in the Intercom building. He was at Sports Fight on Saturday. He was, because they sell it on DVD too, and so they do kind of this cool thing where he is there with like a closed caption microphone and he does play by play straight to like, I don't know, Pro Tools or something, and then they put it out as a DVD, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he was there, and he gave me, you know, we talked for a minute, and he gave me a hearty handshake and said the show is sounding great, wished us well. He's dropped 55 pounds. It's amazing. I guess he's on some L.A., South Beach, something or other, whatever.
Wow.
Anyway, dropped a lot of weight. So I hold here in my hands. We're not going to do them right now. We may do two of these today, depending on how things go. I hold here in my hands today's collection of real and fake metal lyrics. I'm getting to that. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We're here on the Rick Emerson Show. Let's go to Tim Riley at the City Desk.
I have another Tom Cruise story.
Fantastic.
He claims he knew Beyonce Katie Holmes was pregnant even before she told him. The actor who proposed to the pregnant 27-year-old...
Is that because, what's his name, Chris Klein called over? Look, I've impregnated Katie Holmes.
He said he could just tell that Katie was expecting.
Oh, God.
I just picked up something at the moment.
She's got a rosy glow about her.
Meanwhile, the War of the World stars reportedly bought her an adult-sized dummy to keep her silent during childbirth.
I thought it was a pacifier.
Well, this is sort of a pacifier. Okay. Only an adult-sized pacifier.
At first it was a pacifier, then it was a binky, then it turned out that the binky and the pacifier were the same thing, and now it's a full-size dummy?
Mm-hmm.
What is she supposed to do with the dummy?
I guess give it a great big hug.
Well, all right, whatever.
As long as it keeps you quiet.
Okay. Okay.
He's quoted as saying, she is just right for me.
Okay. Well, whatever you say there. All right, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Later on today, we'll also have Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine is going to join us, and we'll be naming the artist formerly known as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band. That's coming up. We'll find out how Engineer Sean is sticking into the man by hewing to the letter of the CBS dress code. And we'll talk to Jim Roop about one of the dead Pointer Sisters who no one can identify or care about in any way. Plus email and so forth. Is this our good friend Gary Baumgarten?
This is one of those cases where we can use the phone screener today.
See, right here, where's Scotty now that we need it? Where is your Scott now?
He's taking calls for his service.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
I love New York City. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
New York City.
I had to shorten this up.
New York City.
It's really twice as much hook as we need.
New York City.
CNN radio correspondent and all-around good guy, Gary Baumgarten. How are you, Gary?
I'm doing A-OK. Guess what I'm looking at right now?
Oh, there's so many answers to that. I don't know. What?
A Parnelli Jones limited edition $600,000 vehicle.
You're that auto show. You're at that Cars of the Future
show. Yeah, I said it wrong.
No,
I say wrong.
Limited edition Parnelli Jones.
Okay.
And that's an F7, which is our car. But all of these are sling vehicles.
Okay.
That one's $600,000.
This one's $600,000. How much is that one?
$55,000.
There's one that's only $60,000, Rick, that you can buy for me if you want.
I was going to say,
my used car.
We're working in radio, so what's the point of drawing a distinction? We can't afford either of them. So.
I know, exactly.
And see how long that would last parked on the streets of New York after you get out of the showroom.
It's all academic, but I have the audacity to say that wrong in front of the guy who's in charge of the exhibit. So
there you go.
We got a correction on the air as the mistake was made.
Well, that's what
only
CNN does.
Radio.
That is what sets CNN apart. You guys make an error, you report it promptly, you retract, you give the factual information, unlike the people over at Fox who would just run the error over and over and over again.
That's
or those
right.
people on
right.
Dateline who would just have the car rigged to blow up. What is the name of this auto show thing you're at?
It's the New York International Auto Show.
All right, and these are cars. Is this like a Cars of Tomorrow Today kind of a thing?
A lot of them are, yeah. There's a lot of neat concept cars here, and there are a lot of cars that are production vehicles. It's rare that the concept cars ever make it into production in the manner in which you see them here, but it's still fun to watch anyway and dream about the possibilities of the future.
So what is it? A concept car is sort of the automotive equivalent of those dresses made out of plywood that the women wear on the runways.
That's right.
In Paris.
That's
like,
right.
You're never really going to buy it, but it's just there to show off ability or whatever style.
That's right. It's like Fashion Week in New York. You're never going to find anybody out in the real world wearing the kinds of dresses that are worn.
Right.
Nor, by the way, will you ever see them walking in that weird walk that they have to walk on the runway.
Seriously.
In real life.
Like their spine is made out of titanium? Yeah.
Right, exactly. It'd be like, oh, she's too drunk to take home, or maybe she's drunk enough to take home if she was walking that way. So, I don't know.
What is it? We were talking about hybrids yesterday, and are they doing any sort of work on making hybrids look more like a real car that I won't be embarrassed to be seen in?
Well, the Ford Escape, as example, you can't tell the difference between the V6 and the hybrid on the road, except that the V6 says V6 on the tailgate and the hybrid says hybrid. And it rides the same. I've had an opportunity to drive it, and I think that's an example of an attempt by the automotive industry to start to become more green. Now, that being said, the problem with the hybrids is that because they produce and sell proportionately fewer of them than they do the normal gas guzzlers, the cost of purchasing one outstrips the cost of your savings at
right.
the pump. So unless, like the cost of the pump doubles, you're not going to amortize your investment. But I guess you could feel good about the fact that you're contributing to the ecology.
I almost bought a hybrid about a year and a half ago. And I got to tell you, one of the big motivations for doing it, trying to buy one, was that it would allow me to be even more morally self-righteous and superior to other people.
Right.
And it would allow me to lord over my superior way of life. And I ended up
right.
not doing it. But I read this story the other day. They said there's a bunch of, Prius rage. They got a bunch of people on highway, especially in California, out there in Jim Roop
right.
country, where it's people who are blocking and cutting off and road raging against people in hybrids. Do you hear anything about that?
No, but, it's interesting. Did you see the South Park episode where they called the Prius the pious?
No. No, I didn't.
Very funny about people buying hybrids in order to, you know, drive down the road and say, how come you're not contributing to the ecology? Get a hybrid.
Totally, yeah.
Otherwise, well, these Piuses. So it's probably that kind of thing.
I don't know.
I don't know about in your environment, but around here, the road rage is just unbelievably high.
Well, see, in Portland,
it's much to tick somebody off.
There's some road rage in Portland, but even more than that, it's just hippieville up here, man. It's just nothing but granola, and it's only there's only two kinds of people.
If you're driving a hybrid in your town, it would be like, you know, yeah, man, that's very cool, man.
Yeah, in Portland, it's all hippies, and then it's rednecks on the outskirts anyway. But I mean, you know, so there you go. So, all right. It just seems like we just ought to be at a point where we're not burning dead dinosaurs in the car. We just ought to be done with it, you know?
Right, right. Well, I mean, if they would offer incentives other than the tax incentives to get a hybrid, like maybe a tax break that will cover the several $1,000 additional cost of getting the same car as a hybrid than if it was a conventional vehicle,
yeah.
Maybe more people would go that route, and then they could produce more and they could sell more, and then the market would allow for the prices to even out to where they're the same. And I imagine that, you know, if a person could see that he or she is getting the kind of savings that they hope to get by switching to a hybrid, why not if the car performs as well as a gasoline-powered car?
In the meantime, you set aside one of those 60 grand cars for me. I'll buy you one when I get my next bonus.
Oh, unbelievable. And better yet, you should see the models that are showing off the cars.
I don't even...
You don't mind me being a little sexist.
No. Dude, this is the Rick Emerson show. Do whatever you want. You can be nude for all I care. All right.
Maybe I'll take pictures you can put on your website.
Please,
you know?
Please email those to us. That's rick@rickemerson.com, Gary.
There you go.
Thank you, sir.
See you, buddy.
All right. Gary Baumgarten live in New York City. All right. It's 503-733-2970. All right. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
I feel like I'm sitting in a boiler room here.
I got the phone. Let's talk about Sarah for a moment.
All right.
Let's talk about your friend and mine, Sarah X. Dillon. Now, our good friend Susan Reynolds, who is marketing director for CBS Radio Portland, she's the one, she was kind of had that Almond Roca looking jacket on when she came over a couple weeks ago to talk about kissing my ass.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with your face?
Nothing. You're scaring me.
No, you got this look. You got an anticipatory look on your face.
Well,
like
I just can't anticipate what's coming out of your mouth today. I'm a little nervous.
No, I was going to say that everybody ever we were. I was at a meeting this morning, and as befits my position as manager,
in a button-down shirt.
He's all grown up.
Our little Rick. So I was in a meeting this morning. But they were talking about what a great job you do. When she was saying that just from because she was only in here for 5-6 minutes, just from the few minutes she was in here. Tim's running in and out doing the news. We got a guest coming in, and you're answering the phones, and you're playing the sound bites, and you're running the levels on the show, and I'm talking, and we're answering email, and, you know, you got the hotline ringing, and news guests are coming on. And she said that you handled it, I'm paraphrasing, maybe with grace and aplomb, and that she wanted to get an intern in here because to take a little bit of the load off your shoulders, because she recognizes that although you're executing your job flawlessly, that it is many, many balls you're having to keep in the air at once, and she was saying you're doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, because it's hard because I'm trying to screen the calls, but then you want my attention, and I'm like, ah.
Yes.
And
so
it's a lot to ask.
But Tim and I noted the phones are just crazy today for some reason.
Yeah, it's great.
You get like 100.
That was just actually Kyle.
Kyle the intern? Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Dope. Let me dump that. Kyle, the former intern.
Yeah, yeah, he's going to call back in a little while.
Oh, great. That won't be awkward.
He has one of them, their real jobs, too.
That won't be uncomfortable or anything.
Well, he's still young enough that he can get a real job.
Well, I feel so bad because, again, he's not going to college.
No, he'll tell you all about it. He got himself a great job.
Really?
He's not hurting. Oh, yeah.
Is his job being Mrs. Meg or Mr. Megan? Is that his job?
No, he told me he's still dating her, but...
Well, of course. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you don't want to let that gravy train go. No, it's never work again. No, it's... Okay, so here's... Okay, I won't say who, but I was at the Van Plug practice last night for the Bigger Than Jesus band, who we will be renaming later. Mm-hmm. I know I'm totally off track here, but this counts as news, sort of.
I think so.
One of the guys in the band, I guess disguising it is pointless because there's only one of them that this happened, but was recently married, and I said, hey, you know, congratulations on your wedding, and. He's like, no, it's really kind of congratulations. I'm becoming a dependent. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, because he got married. And like, as soon as he got married and it's like all the benefit paper, everything was signed, he quit his job. He's not working. He's just sitting at home drinking beer and playing his guitar. And it's
because
his wife has got, you know, like some real job. She's like a CPA or something. And he's like, yeah, I think I can push it for like 6 months before she makes me get any kind of a job. So there you go, man. It's like, and of course, it's the same dynamic where he's great, but he's like a scruffy rock dude. and then she's like all Miss Little Miss Button Down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly, I mean, you don't want to let that go. You hold on to that with two hands.
Kind of like you and Lara.
Very much like that, actually. And Kyle and Megan,
uh-huh.
who's, I mean, and we all acknowledge she's way too good for him. So, no, it's true. I think Kyle himself would tell you that.
Maybe he's grown as a human being.
No, he
has. Yes,
hasn't.
A year has gone by.
He's grown. He's grown out. Zing. All right, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, a woman's skeleton was discovered in her flat 3 years after she is believed to have died. Joyce Vincent was surrounded by Christmas gifts and the television was still on.
She was dead?
For 3 years.
Oh.
Who gave her Christmas gifts? How? Logically speaking, how would somebody give you Christmas if I be just not discovered for 3 years if you've got Christmas gifts?
That's a good question.
She wrapped them from the cats?
Let's continue.
Okay.
The 40-year-old's body was so decomposed that the only way to identify her was to compare dental records with a holiday photograph.
So this is her...
So this is during happier
this
times,
this is her eating, eating a cheese ball.
Yeah.
And then, okay.
Police believe she probably died of natural causes in early 2003 and was only found in January this year when the Housing Association officials broke into her home. In East London. They were hoping to recover...
Oh, well, okay. In London.
Well, they were hoping to recover the thousands of pounds of rent that she was behind that had piled up since her death.
That's not going to happen.
Details of the case emerged during an inquest in which was attended by her relatives, including her sister. So apparently they're not very close.
3 years you sit there in your apartment just rotting away.
Mm-hmm. A spokesman for the coroner said today that Ms. Vincent had apparently been placed in a woman's refuge as a victim of domestic violence. Okay, so she wasn't allowed to keep in touch with people, apparently. When representatives of the Metropolitan Housing Trust arrived in the flat, they drilled the door open and discovered stacks of unopened mail. The mail was marked February 2003.
Oh, so this is like a show. She's like a crazy lady, too. She's like a crazy cat woman without the cats.
Mm-hmm. And her medication and food had a February 2003 expiration date.
Oh, okay. Well, she's dead. Well, you know, it's like this is my dad, actually. He was in the Knights of Columbus, a fraternal Catholic men's organization. Your dad was probably in the Knights of Columbus.
No, he wasn't in it, but I remember the Knights of Columbus.
Yeah.
Don't they have big spaghetti dinners?
They do. Every Sunday. And then they dress up like...
I never understood what it is.
They dress up like parrots. It's just a bunch of guys getting together and...
they wear a fez?
Drinking beer. And that's totally what it is. They wear pirate hats. They look like full-on pirate hats. Literally with like bright green fringe, it's like it really is just like the silliest
and
thing.
All the walls are brown from years of smoking.
It's like
your home.
Yeah, that's like they all look like refugees from the Puff and Stuff show. It's kind of dumb actually. And he tried to get me to join too, like before he, you know, he and my mom split up. He was, because they didn't have, like, you can't be a Knights of Columbus, you can't join the KCs until you're like 18, but they have, for the younger set, they have, because there's, you know, there's always like the
Princes
starter
of Columbus,
there's always the starter getting out of their squires. And so he was like, and it's like, how I was like,
that's like the nerdiest word.
I'm like, I am a squire. Me and the squires was like me and Dungeons and Dragons. I try it once and I'm like, screw this.
What
I'm
does Columbus
here.
Have to do with God?
No one knows. No one has any idea. And they do charitable works and they have fundraising and they do raffles and whatever. All the same crap that every other, you know, stupid organization.
Helping
does.
The children.
It's all about having the children and then drinking. But every few years, there'd be like, they'd get the call where it's like there'd be some nutcase member that, like, you know, had died or that he wouldn't come out of his house. And they go over and he's like sitting there in his underwear, you know, and it's like in a chair in the middle of the living room surrounded by stacks of newspapers and National Geographics and like bad and like old piles of garbage. For like, you know, like 15 years. And they totally have to like hack their way through the rock layer to get to the guy. Is it, you know?
Just teeth and a clump of hair.
Yes. Thank you for that image during the lunch hour. Speaking of which, coming up later...
Well, we're trying to be truthful here.
Rat-tailed maggots. Coming up later. All right, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Dateline Gillette, Wyoming. A teenage boy accidentally set himself on fire after allegedly trying to siphon gas from a fire chief's car.
Allegedly. As though there are other ways it could have happened. As though he was just sitting in his house when gasoline poured down from the heavens, followed by a flaming match.
Well, police first learned of the injury after a 17-year-old boy and a 16-year-old boy claimed that someone had thrown gasoline on the 17-year-old at Common Sense Service Station and lit him on fire. The boy was taken to the hospital with second and third degree burns on his legs. Police were called to the hospital to investigate the incident and later learned the 17-year-old spilled gas on his pants while siphoning gas.
Then he used a lighter to try to determine how wet his pants were.
This isn't a Darwin one.
Oh, no, because he's not dead, unfortunately. And regrettably, his face isn't burned. Mm. Because if he was disfigured, at least he'd be unable to reproduce probably in the future unless he was with a blind girl.
What kind of gene pool would one find in Gillette, Wyoming?
Well, I think we've got the answer to that in the story. So he was determined. I don't know. Okay, let's project ourselves into the head of this wayward youth, though, for a moment.
We're in Gillette, Wyoming.
So,
whatever that might look like.
First of all, I can't even imagine what you'd need to siphon gas for. What do you, like the John Deere's broken down or something? So he's siphoning gas. Oh, which I didn't think.
Maybe they want to go to the city.
I didn't think they want to go to Big Time, Wyoming. I didn't think.
Was it Casper?
That siphoning gas.
That would be where the nightlife is found.
I didn't think that siphoning gas was a thing that happened anymore. I thought that was a thing that went out in like 1972 films with Steve McQueen. Because we all know how to siphon gas from seeing it in the movies, right? And it just seems like the most, I've never done it, but it just seems like the most phenomenally stupid idea to begin with because it involves getting a mouthful of gas, doesn't it?
Who's the one that invented siphoning and how did it occur?
Well, it was probably some variant of pump priming, like in well digging, because it's all about, it's about gravity and it's about vacuum.
Well, how many died before this method was perfected?
Well, because the thing is, kids, if you want to siphon gas, here's how you do it. The deal is you go to the car, mm-hmm. you put the, and it requires old cars because the new cars either have locking caps and even then there's a little flippy top thing on the inside that you can't do it.
Need like an old Studebaker.
Yeah, so you put the tube in. You take the tube in your hand. Now I sound like an ACR bit. You take the tube in your hand, and then you get on your knees. You take the tube in your hand, and then you kneel down, and the end of the tube that you are holding has to be below the gas tank, because then it's the force of, you know, vacuum or whatever. It's the low pressure. And so you then suck on it until you get a mouthful of gas. That's how you know that it's working. And then you kind of just, and you put it into the tank, and it pours out. So he's doing this. So let's, in his head, though, how is this working? He's siphoning gas. Mm-hmm. He's not very good at it because he's dumb. He sprays gas all over his pants.
Right.
And then he's trying to determine how wet his pants are by using a lighter?
Yes.
So, look, I know to us that's all self-evidently dumb. But in his head even, what is the flowchart there? Like, what are the two outcomes? What was the system he was going to use to determine? Like, you know what I mean?
Maybe it was a cloudy day, and he probably thought the lighter would afford him a better view of the region on his pants.
Do you think so? You think he was using the lighter for illumination,
yes.
Not like a, if it burns quickly, then it's a lot of gas.
Oh, no, right. No. He was probably holding it, he probably thought it was at a safe distance.
Yes.
Okay. I can't add anything to that story. Here's Tim Riley.
So he just wanted to look his best by the time they arrived at their destination to see like the dancing girls in Casper.
I want to look sexy when I get to the burn unit. Okay.
Well, Sears has pulled Renew and Moisture Lock from its Kmart and Sears stores.
Because of eye fungus
mm-hmm.
and the concomitant blindness that ensues.
There have been 109 cases of a rare infection that can cause permanent vision loss if untreated. This is made by Bausch & Lomb.
Wake up, eye covered with mold.
We felt this would be an appropriate step to take.
It was worth it just for the look on Sarah's face.
Mm-hmm. No. Oh, maybe this young man had used it before he siphoned.
Seriously, I do believe that you wake up and your eye is just covered with algae.
Oh, no.
And rat-tailed maggots.
There are reports of rare fungal eye infection linked to contact. Oh, this is bad stuff.
Yes, it is.
Apparently, it's offered in the general merchandise aisles. So please try to avoid it.
Unless you're in the South and you're eating that dangerous Easter candy, in which case we encourage you to double fist it. We have more sound here?
Yes, we do.
All right.
A new survey by the Pew Research Institute finds 90% of Americans believe most people are overweight, but 40% of those polls say they're not to be lumped into that group. Cindy Moore, a registered dietitian at the Cleveland Clinic, said there are a number of reasons why people believe they are not fat.
Thin people in Cleveland.
Weight gain happens over time, slowly. There are a number of people that
like
never
Laura Klein,
really
our HR
look
woman?
That carefully mm-hmm. at themselves, that avoid looking at themselves in the mirror, that don't weigh themselves without any regular basis.
So take a good look at yourself, a good look, before declaring you're part of this group.
The best part of the story, what is the, wait, hold on, I think I can do a, I think we can use Sarah's thing
it
here.
It says, oh, fat, not me.
Oh, see, no, I have a different headline. Okay. Do we have a different fat story?
We do somewhere in here.
All right, I had my morning show joke all teed up and ready to go.
You want to play it?
Please stand by for a moment.
I had my Mark and Brian joke ready to ready to roll this.
Are Mark and Brian still around?
I honestly have no idea.
Let me look here. I'm trying.
No, that's not a
B. That's not a good. Let's see here. No, that's not there. I'm sorry.
I think it's towards the back.
Towards the back.
Wait, hold on.
Okay.
Look.
If we had an intern here, we could find it quicker.
All right. Well, Scotty will be here tomorrow.
There it is.
There we go.
There he is.
Okay. Okay, ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Many obese don't see the problem.
Or their feet.
We made you wait all that time.
Yeah, but the payoff was worth it. It was really... No, that was... I mean, that was all a lead up to something gold right there. That was cut, slice, fried gold. All right. Shall we break?
Yeah.
Let's break.
That sounds like fun.
All right, here's what's... Sounds like a world of fun. It's a whirling dervish of entertainment. Here's what's coming up. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine is going to be here. Jen Lane, by the way, who 15 seconds into the intern's call earlier texted Sarah with the fire him now message. All right. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will be here to talk about one of the Dead Pointer Sisters you've never heard about and couldn't possibly care less about. And we're going to have you name the artist formerly known as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band. That's coming up. We'll find out how engineer Sean is sticking it to the man by following the letter of the CBS dress code while flagrantly violating it in spirit with pictures. And we will also have Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics. Holding them right here. Right here in my hand. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on Johnson 970. Y'all, from Troy, Michigan, here's Stillwater. You stay there.